Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. To start off the new year, here's one of the lost great Gildersleeves, recorded by ART Lexington. It's episode 107. We call it New Year, New Man.
Kraft presents the Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. We'll join the Great Gildersleeve in just a few seconds. Now that the holidays are over, it's back to school again for millions of our youngsters. Lunchbox sandwiches should, of course, be just as nourishing as they can be, and taste extra good, too. So don't spare the parquet margarine you spread on their bread, because children simply love parquet for its appetizing flavor goodness. It's extra good for them, too, because parquet helps supply some of the vitamins and extra nourishment your growing children need. In addition to being wonderfully good to eat, parquet margarine is one of the best energy foods you can include in your family's diet. This quality margarine, made in Kraft spick and span plants, is also a reliable year-round source of vitamin A. In fact, every single pound of parquet contains no less than 9,000 units of this important vitamin. So, for delicious, nourishing lunchbox treats, and for a good-tasting spread the whole family will enjoy, buy and serve parquet. That's P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine, made by Kraft. Sunday, January 2nd, 1944. The beginning of a new year. And in Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, we see the beginning of a new man.
Birdie?
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Starting tomorrow, Birdie, breakfast will be at 6:30.
6:30?
6:30.
6:30. No earlier, no later. It will consist of prunes, oatmeal, toast.
But why 6:30?
Because, young lady, there's been entirely too much boondoggling in this family. No one around here seems to know the value of time. Time is precious. Time is money. From now on, it's up with the sun and to bed with the birds.
But the sun isn't even up at 6:30, Unc.
We can't wait around for the sun. Let the sun rise earlier. Action. That's the watchword here. Action.
Gosh, what's come over Unc?
What's come over Unc? Well, thereby hangs a tale. Let's go back a couple of days to New Year's Eve. It was around 9 o'clock in the evening. Dressed in his tuxedo, stiff shirt, and black tie, Gildersleeve sat alone in his den, staring into the fire and brooding while the old clock on the bookcase ticked away the last few hours of the year. Somewhere in his subconscious, a voice seemed to speak.
Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, in account with the year 1943... balance, as of the close of business, December 31st. Accomplishments, none.
Well, I tried. Honest.
Blunders, many.
Well, I'll tell you about that. I had bad luck. This was one of my bad years.
Gildersleeve, you have been on this earth now for 42 years.
I know.
You won't live forever, you know. The sands of time are running low.
He's right. 42 years, and what have I got to show for them?
Uncle Mort?
Come in, Marjorie. You needn't knock.
That's funny. I thought I heard you talking to someone.
Just myself, I guess.
You seem so sad. Why? It's New Year's Eve. Ring in the new, ring out the old. Hooray!
Hooray indeed.
What's wrong, Unky darling? Aren't you happy?
I suppose so. I just don't feel like a lot of festivity and a lot of people somehow.
Oh, you'll feel differently when they get here. And it's not a lot of people. Judge Hooker...
I see him every day. Why would I want to spend New Year's Eve with him?
And Mrs. Ransom will be here.
I know.
And Miss Goodwin. I think you're a little teensy bit sweet on her, too.
I admire her and nothing more.
Oh, don't be an old grumpus. Come on, come with me.
Where? What for?
In the dining room. Bertie wants you to taste the punch.
Punch? These people aren't staying, you know. We're going on to another party later.
I know, but Bertie made it, and it's wonderful.
I hope she hasn't gone to a lot of trouble.
Leroy, you get away from that punch bowl.
I'm just tasting it.
You keep on tasting it, and there won't be nothing left to taste.
Leroy!
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Gillsleeve. He was just tasting it. Let me pour you a cup. See if you like it.
What's in it, Bertie?
Oh, a little of this and a little of that. There, try that.
Mmm. Bertie, your very good health and continued success and prosperity in 1944.
Thank you, sir. Think maybe it needs a little more sugar?
Well, I don't like to pass hasty judgment on a thing like this. Perhaps I better try another cup, just to be sure.
Get him, and he won't let me have any.
Young man, there is just one thing I'm going to ask of you this evening.
What's that?
Behave yourself.
I always do.
We'll pass over that without comment. Just watch your manners, that's all. I'd like you to make a nice impression for once.
I always do.
And another thing. When I tell you it's time to go to bed, I want you to go instantly, without any argument.
I always do.
Young man, don't push me too far.
No, sir.
You always do.
Oh, honestly, I declare to goodness I don't know anything more thrilling than to be with men in evening clothes, especially such handsome men.
You mean both of us?
Of course, darling. The judge always looks so distinguished, like the old family portraits back home.
Leela, when I'm with you, I feel distinguished.
Thank you, Horace. Throckmorton, why can't you say sweet, graceful things like that?
I'm not the lounge lizard type, that's all.
Now, honey, I hope you're not going to be difficult this evening. It won't be any fun going around to all these parties with an old cross patch.
No, maybe I shouldn't go then. I wouldn't want to spoil the judge's evening.
Now, Gildy, what's come over you all of a sudden?
Nothing at all.
Horace, he's angry because I said you look distinguished. You do, too. You look just like the portrait of old Governor Calhoun. Have you any Calhoun in you?
Not that I'm aware of, Leela.
In the judge's family, it was all baboons.
Now, Gildersleeve!
Don't pay him any mind, Horace. He'll cheer up when Miss Goodwin gets here.
Leela, I hope there won't be any, when Miss Goodwin gets here, I hope everything will be...
Don't worry, Throckmorton. Miss Goodwin and I understand each other perfectly. Besides, I'm only interested in Horace this evening. Aren't I, Horace?
I like to think so, Leela.
Now, Judge, this is just a double date. You have no right to assume that Leela...
Hi, folks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Leroy.
Happy New Year, my boy.
Leroy, why aren't you dressed?
Me?
Yes, you. We have guests. I'm dressed. Marjorie is dressed. Everyone's dressed but you.
Yeah, but I'm the one that's not going anywhere.
That makes no difference, Leroy.
What I got on is clean. I only got it for Christmas.
A polo shirt with a hot iron transfer on it is not suitable for New Year's Eve. Now go upstairs and put on a shirt and a tie, and a coat.
Okay. Just because he's got on a tuxedo.
Well, how about a little punch, everybody? Here, Leela.
It's simply delicious. Try some, Horace.
Here's how. That's pretty good punch for a water commissioner, Gildy. Ah, here's Marjorie. Good evening, Marjorie. Happy New Year.
Good evening, Mrs. Ransom. Good evening, Judge.
You look simply sweet, Marjorie. Are you going to a party, too?
Oh, yes. Some boys from Camp Underwood are coming into town, and we're throwing a dance at the country club.
Well, have a little punch, my dear.
Thank you. That's a lovely dress, Mrs. Ransom.
Thank you, honey. I got it in Chicago.
That must be Eve. Keep right on drinking punch, everybody. I'll go.
Well.
Well, well. Happy New Year, Eve. Come in and join the merry throng.
I told you, Judge. Now he's happy as a jaybird.
My, everybody's here.
Let me have your coat. I've never seen you in an evening dress before.
She's just barely in that one.
What's that, Leela? Oh, good evening, Miss Goodwin.
Good evening, Judge. Good evening, Mrs. Ransom.
Good evening.
You know my niece Marjorie, don't you, Eve?
Oh, yes. So nice to see you again.
Happy New Year. What a beautiful dress you're wearing.
Yes, it fits so beautifully.
My sister got it for me in New York. We're exactly the same size.
You're sure she's not a little smaller?
Ugh. Quick, everybody, touch glasses. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Delicious punch.
Have some more.
We really ought to be starting for the Pettibones, Throckmorton.
I have to go, too.
In a minute. We have to have a few toasts.
Really, I think we ought to be going now.
Well.
Oh, there's Wally. I've got to run. Goodbye, everybody. Happy New Year.
Be sure you're home by 12:30, Marjorie.
I will.
Well, let's ramble over to the Pettibones and see what's cooking.
That's the spirit, Horace.
I'm still cold from walking over here.
Well, come in and sit by the fire, Eve.
I know, Throckmorton. Why don't Leela and I start over now, and you and Miss Goodwin join us as soon as she's warm enough?
Well, that's not a bad idea. We'll come over in just a few minutes.
Just one toast and we'll go. Here's to 1943, the last of the bad years, and to 1944, the first of the good ones. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Can I have some punch now?
You may have one glass.
Happy New Year, Leroy. You look very nice.
Thanks, Miss Goodwin.
Yes, he looks like a little gentleman.
Very nice, my boy. But now it's your bedtime.
What?
I'm sorry, Leroy.
For corn's sake! For one lousy glass of punch, I have to dress up like Roddy McDowell? Please, Unc!
Answer that, Leroy.
Okay. Hello? Yeah, this is the commissioner's residence. Just a minute. It's the chief of police, Unc.
Wonder what he wants. Hello, chief. Yes, Charlie Anderson is my engineer down at the waterworks.
Why, the old son of a gun.
Well, I'll put up bail for him in the morning, but you'd better let him out now or the water main will be dry in an hour. All right, Chief. Thank you.
The same to you.
That old jackass.
The chief?
No, Charlie. He got into a fist fight at some downtown cafe.
A fist fight?
That's the last straw. Fighting. By George, I'll take care of him the first thing in 1944. But let's not let it spoil the party. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year!
Yeah, Happy New Year.
You go to bed, Leroy.
Awk!
You go to bed now, and you can get up at midnight and listen to the whistles.
Well, I suppose we should be going along and joining the others.
Yes, I suppose we should.
It's nice to have a few moments of peace, though.
Yes, it's nice. Eve?
Yes?
Nothing.
There's something on your mind, Throckmorton, I can tell.
How?
I don't know, just a feeling.
That's what's wonderful about you, Eve. You understand people.
Well, I suppose we should be going along now.
Yes, I suppose we should.
Throckmorton?
Yes?
What would happen if we didn't go?
That's what's wonderful about you, Eve. You're not afraid of what people will say. You're not afraid to be yourself.
It's not that. But I have rather a special feeling about New Year's Eve. To me, it's not a time for shouting and blowing horns and being jostled by strangers. It's a time for being with friends and feeling very close to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Should old acquaintance be forgot?
That's it. Oh, sing it, will you, please?
Well, if you'll sing too.
I'll play it for you.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne.
Why, Eve?
I'm sorry, Throckmorton. It's foolish of me, but it always makes me feel this way. It's such a sad song.
New Year's is a sad time. I've been feeling sad all evening.
Have you? Why?
Oh, when I think about my life, I haven't made much of it.
Well, I suppose there comes a time in every man's life when the way ahead is divided, and he has to make a choice. If he takes one turn, it leads to fame and fortune. If he takes the other...
It leads to Summerfield.
Well, yes.
I'm afraid I've taken a lot of wrong turns in my life. Why, if I'd taken the right turn 10 years ago, today I might be head of an important investment company. Instead, Bob Warren got it.
Well, that's life, I guess.
Yes, sir. I could be right where Bob is today. Well, not right where he is, because he's in jail. I guess he took a wrong turn somewhere, too. But things would be different.
There's one thing to remember, Throckmorton. You're young yet.
Well?
And tomorrow is the beginning of a new year. You could have anything you wanted if you once made up your mind to it.
You think so?
I'm sure of it. Of course, that's only my opinion, and I'm only a woman.
Oh, but that's what's wonderful about you, Eve.
I don't think I understand.
You're a woman. That's wonderful.
You're very nice.
Eve.
Yes, Throckmorton?
You've given me courage this evening. Courage to go on.
Go on?
It's almost midnight. Only 10 minutes left. The last few minutes of 1943. Are we going to waste them just sitting here, talking?
Have you a better idea?
Happy New Year, Eve!
Happy New Year!
Oof! Leroy, you jumped the gun.
Yeah, what about you?
Back to bed, young man. Back to bed.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a few seconds. Among your New Year's resolutions, here's hoping you made family nutrition your special goal for the coming year. It won't be easy, of course, with some foods still scarce, but it can be a whole lot easier than you think, especially if you make parquet margarine a part of your family's regular daily diet. There's a very special reason why parquet margarine is such an important aid to good nutrition. You see, parquet margarine has such a delicate, satisfying flavor, it makes other wholesome foods taste better, encourages us to eat and enjoy our full share of bread, muffins, and rolls by adding delightful flavor to them. That's reason enough for serving parquet margarine at every meal. But when you consider that parquet is one of the best of energy foods and that every single pound contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A, you have reasons aplenty why parquet margarine should be a regular part of your family's daily diet. So tomorrow, be sure to buy delicious, nourishing parquet. That's P-A-R-K-A-Y, parquet margarine made by Kraft. Now let's get back to the Great Gildersleeve and 1944. True to his new resolve, Monday morning finds him very early at his office, doggedly plowing through reports on rainfall and such matters, until his secretary tiptoes in at a sweet 9:30.
Bessie!
Mr. Gildersleeve! Merry Christmas! I mean, Happy New Year!
If we're going to have a Happy New Year, Bessie, we'll have to come to an understanding right now. During 1944, this office is going to be run on strictly business lines.
You mean everything's going to be different?
Yes. Well, not different, but more so. I was here at 8 o'clock this morning. And where were you?
At 8 o'clock? I was asleep.
From now on, you'll be here at 8 o'clock.
Yes, sir. Then do I quit at 3:30?
Certainly not. Why should you quit at 3:30?
On account of the 40-hour week. You could end up in jail.
Oh. Well, we'll have to iron that out later. For the present, come in at 8 and take 2.5 hours for lunch.
Yes, sir.
And another very important thing. I want 5 newly sharpened pencils on my desk every morning.
We only have 3 pencils.
Then get some more. Now, where's my calendar of engagements for today?
I'll make one right away.
Just tell it to me. But tomorrow, have it on my desk, right under the pencils.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've sent for a man from the Summerfield Indicator to tell him about my plans for 1944.
You mean the pencils?
No. I'm going to tell him about our plans for expansion and so on. Show him in when he gets here. Now, get the mayor on the phone.
Yes, sir.
I'll just wish him a happy new year and let him know I'm on the job. Let the whole town know pretty soon.
Hello, is the mayor in? Mr. Gildersleeve calling.
Commissioner Gildersleeve.
Commissioner Gildersleeve. Oh, well, just leave word he called, please.
What's the matter?
He isn't in yet.
Fine mayor. Fine servant of the people. Strolling in at all hours of the day. By George, I'm going to show the people of this town how a public servant should operate. I'm going to see who that is, Bessie.
Yes, sir. Did you wish something, sir?
Yeah, I'm Jack Reed from the Indicator. I understand the commissioner has a little New Year's hot air he wants to hand me.
Oh, come in here, young man.
Oh, there you are. Jack Reed's my name, commissioner. I understand you want to have a little press conference.
Well, yes, I do. But I'm not going to give you any hot air.
Just a trade expression, commissioner. Don't take it too hard.
All right. But just remember, I'm a very good friend of your boss. have a cigar.
Thanks. I'll smoke it later. Mind if I sit down?
No, go ahead. Well, you don't have to put your feet on my... Well, that's all right. I know how you reporters are.
I'll bet you do. Well, shoot, Commissioner. What's on your mind?
Yes. Well, young man, I have great plans for the Water Department in 1944.
That's fine.
Yes, sir. I... Aren't you going to take any notes?
If I hear any facts, I'll jot them down.
Oh. Well, I'm reorganizing my office work here. Putting everything on a more business-like, well, let's say on a more streamlined basis. Write that down, young man. That's a fact.
If you say so.
I do say so. This office is going to be run in ABC apple pie order. And another thing, the standards of the water service in...
Water Commissioner's office. Oh, just a minute.
Who is it, Bessie?
It's your maid, Commissioner. She wants you to bring home some pork chops.
I can't talk to her during business hours.
Yes, sir. Oh, Bertie, he says he can't talk to you during business hours. Oh, it's some new idea. Goodbye.
That will do, Bessie. Now, where was I?
You were expanding.
Oh, yes. Expanding.
Now, I don't know if this is in line with your expansion plans, Commissioner, but some pressure is developing down at City Hall to fire one of your employees.
One of my employees? I'll tolerate interference from no one where my staff is concerned. I'm 100% loyal.
Keep your shirt on, Senator. You got a guy named Charlie Anderson working for you out at the waterworks?
Oh, him.
Yeah. He was in the jug New Year's Eve, but that's not the half of it.
Oh, my goodness. What more?
Well, you know, the reservoir is right in the middle of that new real estate development, Lakewood Heights.
Yes.
Well, your man Anderson insists on living in that old shack out there, right in plain view. And there's been complaints about him lately. Throws his tin cans and bottles out in his yard. Comes on whooping and hollering and singing at all hours.
Singing?
Yes. And they claim he's been corrupting the kids in the neighborhood with his language.
Well, sometimes Charlie is a little careless.
This is one time he went too far. The mayor went out to see him last week with some big shots that own the development. Anderson called the president of the Chamber of Commerce a dad-busted jackass. What he told the mayor was nobody's business.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Mr. Reed, this makes up my mind for me. The man is a fine engineer, but...
But what? What are you going to do about it?
Well, my new policy of expansion and streamlining...
Yes, yes. So what?
Charlie will have to go. Ah, me. The cares of office.
Come on, get your hat, Gildersleeve. I'm going to buy you lunch.
You're too late, Judge. I just had a sandwich. Anyway, I wasn't very hungry.
What's the matter? You sick?
No, I've got a man coming in. Did you ever have to fire anybody, Horace?
Anybody I know?
I'm withholding the name.
Oh, well, these things come up, and as I see it, there's only one way to handle them.
What's that?
Break it to him gently. Don't rush into it.
Well, a thing like that isn't easy to be gentle about. How would you do it?
Well, I'd get the man in, and I'd say to him, George?
This fellow's name is Charlie.
Charlie Anderson?
Never mind.
Well, I'd say to him, Charlie, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. That ought to be enough of a hint.
Suppose it isn't.
Well, I'd go on and I'd say, Charlie, you've been with us now for 10 years. That's a long time. Don't you think it's about long enough?
Suppose he still doesn't get it.
Then don't fool around with him. Fire him.
You're no help. What kind of advice is that?
I suppose you could handle it better.
I certainly could. Why, if I...
Mr. Gildersleeve, Mr. Anderson is here.
Show him right in.
Right in here, Mr. Anderson.
Hello, Commissioner. Good afternoon, Judge.
Hello, Charlie.
How are you, Charlie? Nice day, isn't it?
Not so as you'd notice it.
Well, Judge.
You fellas going to be talking business?
Yes, we are. Glad you could stop in, Judge. Sorry you have to go.
Well, if I could be of any assistance...
Get out of here, old goat. Bessie, I'm not to be disturbed for the next 2 hours. Mr. Anderson and I have a lot to discuss.
Yes, sir.
Sit down, Charlie.
Okay, Commissioner. Say, much obliged for bailing me out the other night. Dead busted police.
That's all right. Now, the reason I sent for you, Charlie, is,
You don't have to fire me, Commissioner. I quit.
Charlie, who said anything about... What are you talking about?
You don't have to kid me, dead busted. I know I've been a little out of line.
Well, yes, Charlie, you have, but I don't want to fire you.
Well, when you have to, you have to. That's okay, Commissioner. I can get work lots of places these days.
I suppose you could.
Only one problem. I'm going to have a time finding a place to live, dead busted.
You stay where you are until you find a... Confound it, I haven't fired you.
You don't have to.
Tell me one thing, Charlie. You've been a kind of a fireball for quite a while, but you never got in fights, you never got in jail, you never insulted the mayor before.
No, dead busted, but I wish I had.
What I want to know is, what came over you all of a sudden?
Well, Commissioner, I'll tell you, if you'll keep it to yourself.
If you want me to, I will.
Well, you know I've got a son in the Navy.
Yes.
Day after Christmas, I got a notice from Washington he was missing.
Charlie.
It kind of threw me off my nut for a few days, that's all.
Of course it would. Listen.
And then, New Year's Eve, I got this cable. Here, you can read it.
I was missing for a few days, Pop, but am back on ship and all okay. Happy New Year.
When I got that, I went really crazy.
Yes, and who's going to blame you?
You just better get yourself another boy, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You listen here, Charlie Anderson. As long as I'm water commissioner of this town, you're my engineer. Understand?
But gosh, Commissioner, what about the mayor?
If he doesn't like it, he can get himself another boy. Happy New Year, Charlie.
Well, Happy New Year, dead busted. Say, I'd better get back on the job before that pump blows up.
Yes, I guess you'd better, Charlie. But I'll be seeing you.
You bet. So long, Chief.
So long, Charlie. Me.
Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, in account with the year 1944.
He's back again.
Balance as of the close of business today, 1 golden deed.
Well, Happy New Year, Conscience.
Music heard on this program was directed by Claude Sweeten. This is Brian Hendrickson speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This presentation of the Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as the Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy, with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie. Pam Hungate was Leela Ransom, with Janet Whittaker as Eve Goodwin. Laurelyn Lahr was Bessie, and Lisette Ralph played Bertie. Nick Helton was the judge, and Wesley J. Akers played Charlie Anderson. Also appearing, Kim Turner. Additional music by Bob Hutchison. Sound effects by Janet Whittaker and John Heflin. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
From Hollywood, it's the Smiley Burnett Show.
Well, I might have gone fishing.
Might have gone fishing.
Got to thinking it over.
Thinking it over.
Row to the river.
It's a mighty long way.
It's a mighty long way.
It's the Smiley Burnett Show, transcribed with music by the Whippoorwills, songs by Sweet Georgia Brown and the Gay Rancheros, yours truly, Joe Slattery, and starring the Clown Prince of Western Pictures, Smiley Burnett. Now, here he is with head throwed back and ready to go, Smiley Burnett.
Oh, yes! Well, howdy doodle, everybody. Say, Joe.
Yeah?
Would you put a string around your finger, please?
All right.
I want you to remind me to pay my board
bill. Pay your board bill.
I just wouldn't want to be like my pal Bill. No, sir. Bill had a billboard, and Bill also had a board bill. The board bill bored him so much he sold his billboard to pay his board bill, and the board bill no longer bored Bill. Say,
yeah.
I've been doing some research on marriage, Joe, since I saw you.
Oh, you have? Research on marriage? Well, what do you mean?
Well, for instance, do you know that according to statistics that married men live twice as long as single men?
Take it from me, chum. It just seems twice as long.
Oh! Something real funny. You know, do you, Joe, huh? Something funny real happened to me last week up in Freeman. I was reading a copy of the Freeman Bugle, and there on the front page was my obituary.
Oh, my.
Oh, that just made me so mad, took four men to hold my coat. So I called old Pye Davis, the editor, and I said, "Listen, you type louse. Did you print my death notice in your paper?" He said, "I sure did, Smiley. Where are you calling from?"
Smiley, I understand your night school didn't turn out too well. You flunked all your studies. I don't understand that.
Neither did I. That's why I didn't pass.
Thank you.
have you know, friends, that that was those whippoorwills. Wasn't that great? Boy, that's an aggregation. Gene, Dusty, Roy, and Doug playing mandolins, guitars, bass fiddles. And now comes that sweet Georgia Brown, and her number is I Can't Help Loving That Man.
Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly. I gotta love one man till I die. Can't help loving that man of mine. Tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow. Tell me I'm crazy, maybe I know. Can't help loving that man of mine. When he goes away, that's my rainy day. Comes back, that day is fine, the sun will shine. He can come home as late as can be. Home without him ain't no home to me. Can't help loving that man.
Say, you know, sometimes when we're playing and singing around here, I get to thinking to myself, I wonder how many of those folks that are listening to this program have ever been to one of the theaters when I make a personal appearance. I really enjoy getting in my old car and getting around all over the country and visiting folks. And, you know, I was cleaning up the Indianapolis Indian and Anapus on the 4th of July this last year. Yes, sir. I went visiting there, and there was a fellow with a microphone set up in the balcony and broadscattered all afternoon. Telling people on the radio how those big old racing cars would go around a great big long track there about a mile long with a curve at each end of it so they could get back. Well, sir, if you'd have been there listening to that radio the day I was there, here's the way that fella sounded broadscattering. Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are in Lapis, Indiana, the big speedway classic of the year. 50,000 to 60,000 people out here in the stand. I wish all you folks out there in radio could enjoy this jagging classic. 500 hard miles, you never seen anything like it. Now the actual race is not started yet. The car's warming up. I'd like to make a few commercials. But time, here comes car number 61. Boy, I mean, he went by. Here comes two cars at once. It'll get the number of either one of them. Oh, man, I mean, they're sailing by here doing 9,000 miles an hour. Oh, there comes a little midget car. A little bitty car going by the stand now. Boy, that's a big one, wasn't it? Yes, sir. Say, how'd you like to hear your old fat friend Froggy sing a good cowboy song? Oh, I'd like a good cowboy song. This one's called Ramblin' Blood in My Veins. I'm packing my duds and I'm breaking my camp, chasing my burro to load that old scamp. At a getting and a going, I swear I'm the champ. I got rambling blood in my veins. Well, I guess I'm plumb stubborn and set in my ways, but I just can't stay put more than 2 or 3 days. Gotta be on the move, new horizons to gaze. I got rambling blood in my veins. With my face to the sun and my hat on the cantle, I'll sing as I jostle along, along. I'll sway back and forth like the clock on the mantle, singing a cowpuncher song. Some say I won't settle, some say that I will. I suppose that someday, well, I might have my fill. Right now I keep wondering what's over the hill. I got rambling blood in my veins. Like the geese in the autumn, I'm a-taking to wing. With my whole get-together, I ain't leaving a thing. Don't care where I'm a-going, I'm a-having my fling. I got rambling blood in my veins. I know the old horse thinks I'm kin to a loon, and he hopes that I'll fold up and quit pretty soon. But that ain't the words that's a-fitting my tune. I got rambling blood in my veins. I'll whip out a tune on my battered guitar as I sing and jostle along. along, along. I'll follow the moon and I'll wish for the stars while I'm yodeling a wanderer's song. I can breathe the night air and be glad that I'm free, glad I'm being right now where I'm a wanting to be. Glad I ain't someone else, just content to be me with that rambling blood in my veins.
Oh, Joe, come here quick, come here quick.
Well, what is it, Smiley? What's all the excitement?
Look at that statue under the sink.
Shh, that's no statue, that's the plumber.
Oh, he's busy, ain't he?
Say, listen, what are you doing out here in the kitchen anyway?
I'm making pancakes. Just look at them, boy, just look at them.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're heavy as stove lids.
No, they're not. The cookbook says they're light and fluffy. I put popcorn in them to turn them over. I'm a good cook, Joe. I'm a good cook. I ain't never going to get any more meals for that Roy Lanham, though, I'll tell you that. He can just cook them over a match for all I care. Yes, sir. I can fix a fine meal when I want to.
Well, that's amazing, Smiley. Imagine you fixing a tasty meal.
Ain't that something? I can go in a delicatessen store and buy a good meal with my eyes shut. Did you ever taste any of the onions in my cooking?
You mean you don't taste any there at all? Why is that, Smiley?
Oh, no. First I peel them carefully. Then I slice them with precision. I salt and pepper them just right. Put them in vinegar and oil. And I throw them all out. I was cooking in a cafe at Freeman. One of them foreign fellers come in to eat all the time.
Did, huh?
He always ordered bean soup. Every time bean soup. Well, I figured that was all the English he could speak, and I felt kind of sorry for him. So one day when he come in, I walked up and whispered in his ear, and I said, "Ham sandwich." He grinned great big, and when the waitress took his order, he says, "Ham sandwich." She says, "Well, how do you want it, on white or rye bread?" He says, "Bean soup."
Baby left me at the station. She didn't say where she was bound. I only know she's gone and left me another love. Perhaps she's found.
She's gone, she's gone, but not forgotten. All she left was memories. I know I'll never have another.
Crying about?
Well, I took first prize at a bridge contest the other night.
What in the world are you crying about that for?
Well, they caught me and I got to take it back.
Oh.
I've often wondered when some of you young fellers hear Sweet Georgia Brown singing into this microphone over that wireless there. If you ever think to yourself, well, I wonder if she's as pretty as she sounds in those songs. Well, that old frog give you a tip. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, she's the prettiest thing. She's got a little song now called I've Got It Bad.
Never treat me sweet and gentle, not the way that he should. I got it bad, that ain't good. Baby, that ain't good, my poor heart. not made of wood. I got it bad and that ain't good. And when the weekend's over and Monday comes a-rolling around, I'll end up like I start out, just crying my heart out. He don't love me, not like I love him. Nobody could. I got it bad, and that ain't good. And when the weekend's over and Monday comes a-rolling around, I'll end up like I start out, just crying. He don't love me, not like I love him. Nobody could. I got it bad and that ain't good.
Hey, fellas, you know I live in Freeman, and about, 7 or 8 miles out in the brush there, there's a schoolhouse out there, the Waldo Hammerfiddle School, you know where I mean, on the crossroad, way out there. Well, sir, about a year ago, they decided they'd have a new school teacher, and when they got her, she was really pretty, see? And she decided, since school started on Thursday, she taught school Thursday and Friday, on Saturday, there being no school, she decided that she'd look the country over, didn't know anybody or anything, so she took off up a little creek. Well, she come to a place there, was all surrounded with bushes and everything, and here was the nicest little beach you ever saw in your life, and the stream looked so pretty, so she went swimming. Oh, she was having more fun. All at once, she heard a voice, and this voice says, "Hello." She said, "Oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness." She said, "Who is that?" The voice said, "This is Willie Jones." He said, Willie Jones, I wonder if he's in my class. I said, Willie, how old are you?" He said, 80 years old, dag nabbit. Say, one of the first tunes your old fat friend Froggy wrote in his life was a thing called "My Mama Don't Allow No Music Played in Here." Well, how's about a good stop chorus of that tune, huh? Mama don't allow that around here. No, sir. Oh, Mama don't allow no music played in here. She don't allow no music played in here. You hear that? But we don't care what Mama don't allow, huh? Play the music anyhow. But Mama don't allow no music played in here. Oh, Mama don't allow no mandolin playing in here. She don't allow no mandolin playing in here. But he don't care what Mama don't allow. He play that mandolin anyhow, though my Mama don't allow no mandolins in here. Why, that's awful. Mama wouldn't like that a bit. Come in here and overhaul him. Oh, Mama don't allow no guitar playing in here. Roy? She don't allow no guitar playing in here. Now stop it. He don't care what Mama don't allow. He play that music anyhow. Oh, my Mama don't allow no guitar playing in here. Look out now. Guitars in here. Those mandolins and guitars together are out. Oh, Mama don't allow no music. She don't allow that music. My Mama don't allow no music in here. Watch out now, feller.
a little confab here with
you right now.
There's something I want to know. Do you know anything about insurance?
Well, sure I do, Smiley. You know, I used to sell insurance.
Oh, good. Well, then explain something for me.
All right.
That 3-year policy on my house.
Yeah.
If I buy that and my house burns down, will they actually pay me $5,000?
Well, they sure will, boy. Of course, you know, they'll have to make a very careful investigation first.
Oh, I knew there was a catch in it somewhere.
Say, listen, Smiley. I want to ask you something, too. What happened to all your uncle's money when he died?
Well, they gave it to some guy I never even heard of. Mr. Fishery.
Mr. Fishery? Who's he?
Well, I never heard of him. I don't know who he is. Somebody by the name of Beneficiary.
Oh.
Yeah. Say, if I took out insurance on my girlfriend today, and tomorrow she dies, how much would I get?
You'd be lucky if you got off with 50 years.
Ooh, better not do it then, had I, huh?
Say, listen, talking about girls, you know, I've got the cutest girl you ever saw, Smiley.
Oh?
She weighs just about 90 pounds.
Oh.
She's a regular pin-up girl.
Yeah? I got a cute gal, too. She weighs 300 pounds. She's an oomph girl. Every time she sits down on the sofa goes, whoo! Fellow that runs that banana stand down here on the corner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is he blowing his top?
Pretty man. What happened?
Oh, there's a dog comes by every day and steals an apple, and he can't do a thing about it. It's a police dog.
Oh.
Numbers on this show, but this next song here by Sweet Georgia Brown, we're going to dedicate this to Shorty Thompson. It's the trust song called Embraceable You.
Embrace me, my sweet embraceable you. Embrace me, you irreplaceable you. Just one look at you, my heart grew tipsy in me. You and you alone bring out the gypsy in me. I love all the many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to mama, come to mama, do. My sweet embraceable you.
Yes, that was so nice. Say, boys, gather around now. I want a little criticism from you. I have been asked to write a few things for the Freeman Elucidator, the paper. I just wanted to see if you fellas would like this. I don't know whether they'll print it or not, but two fellas was a-fishing, and they made a bet as to who would catch the first fish. Well, one fella got a great big one hooked onto it and pulled him out into the water. When the feller came up, the other feller hollers at him, says, "Say, now, look, if you're going to die for him, the bet's all off." Like that, huh?
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by ART's website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.